Hey listeners, Gilbert here. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up. The first minute or so of this podcast is a little bit muffled. It's not too bad, but you will have to listen a little bit closely or just give it a fast forward. But you definitely don't want to miss out on this episode. Give it a listen. Both Bear and I share some personal things about each other. We also talk about self-awareness and our different personality types. This one will really help teens going through school and also adults, especially parents. So listen and enjoy. Thanks. Welcome back to the Solid Foundations podcast with my daughter, Bear, and myself, Gilbert Regalado.
Today, we're talking about
self-awareness.
And I have
put something together, Bear, that I'm going to read off to you.
And
I want you to be curious. Let me know any questions that you got and kind of help me get this thought out and put it into words. So what I put here is,
we are programmed from the womb. Our mindsets and habits
are like concrete.
As kids, we will form to any mold. As teens, we are set, but we need to be finished. We get harder and harder as our adult
years go on. So how familiar are you with concrete work?
I'm quite familiar with it.
Okay, so concrete, if you have to make a form, right? If you just pour liquid concrete, it's just going to go on the ground and it's going to be messy. You're not going to really get much use to it. So you need to make a form of what you want that concrete to go in, so there it could take shape of what you want. And if you don't do, like I said, if you don't do it purposely, that concrete is going to turn into a shape that you don't want. And that's like a lot of what happens in life. No one really. It's very small amount of people who take the time to say, okay, this is what I want my life to be. This is what I want my kids' life to be. I'm going to form it and then so pour it. So let's say the first step is to make the form so that you can even pour the concrete in, okay? And so the concrete in the truck, or if you're mixing in a wheelbarrow, you mix it around. It'll keep liquid for a lot longer as long as you keep it moving. Once you pour it in, it will take the shape of the mold that you pour it into. That's like a little kid, right? So you're born, you're soaking up everything around you, the voices around you, what's being said, the what's going on in your house, and whether it's on purpose or accident, you as a kid, you're gonna take the shape of that mold that's been made for you. Now, as you grow into a teen, it's like the day after, like the concrete is set, okay? Now, if you get the tools and you smooth it out, and there's these different tools, like if you've ever poured a big wall down cinder blocks or anything, you get a vibrator in there, you got to put it in
and it shakes all the concrete
so it goes down smooth. Then you float it around to make it nice and smooth, and then you finish it. So during the teenage years, that's what this kind of is. You have a certain window of time to do all that. Even though the concrete's in the mold, you still got to do the finish work as a teen.
Is the teen doing the finish work or are the parents doing the finish work?
It's rare that the teen is going to do it, but they definitely can. It's usually not only the parents, but now the teen's peers. You know, as a kid, a lot of times whatever the parent says, the kid just believes. As a teen, they're going to naturally start to rebel against their parents, and they're going to start looking at their peers and their teachers and everything that's going around them and as they should be, start developing a mind of their own. You know, it's something natural. No matter how close of a relationship you have with your kids, it's in human nature that when they become teenagers, they're going to start to rebel because they need to prove to themselves that they can make it in this world as adults without having to depend on their parents 100%. And so during these years, they're still being molded. You know, once a lot of kids graduate high school, 17, 18, the learning kind of stops because no one's forcing them to go to school anymore. No one's forcing them to learn. And so they go take whatever they've learned from 0 to 17, 18, and they kind of go off into the world pretty much set. They're still learning that's going to happen, but they're almost set, so there's like not too much learning gonna happen anymore unless they become aware of, oh, I need to be self-aware, you know, I need to develop certain personal skills and work on myself. Now, as an adult, so the thing with concrete is, you could pour it and let's say 30 days later, you could build a whole house on it. You could do anything you want on that concrete. And even though it can handle all that, it's actually gonna cure over the years and get harder and harder and harder. Even though you can't see it with your human eye, it's just setting for years and years curing. So now it's getting even harder. And that's what a lot of adults do. They're set in their ways from when they were a little kid to a teen, they're early adults, and then that's that. And so it's hard to change that unless you become self-aware. And this goes like for introverts and extroverts. I myself, introvert. You?
Definitely an introvert.
Introvert, right? And so the thing is like there's a lot that goes on for both, if we're introvert or extrovert. Like say for me, I was an introvert, and at a young age, when I was in elementary school, I didn't really know. It was so easy to just play. You want to go play basketball, you go there. You play four square there. You want to play tag. And all kids are kind of just there to have fun and play for the most part. Mm-hmm. Well, you hit junior high, and now it's like a whole different game that you're not ready for. And it's a lot like elementary school's a zoo. No one's really getting you ready for the wild. They're getting you ready to be like to be raised in a nice zoo. You get your meals, everyone's getting along, and then boom, you get thrown into junior high and it's like a jungle out there, right? So you gotta start learning, quick, and everybody's gonna learn different. Maybe you got an older brother or sister that are there. Maybe you have cousins, or maybe you're really good at making friends. A lot of times, let's say for introverts, you may not have a lot of friends, right? And so in my early years, being an introvert, I didn't have any friends going into junior high. I had one friend from elementary school that even the first couple days, I even caught a ride with him because he lived by me and we went to the same elementary school. But without like even words being said, walk into junior high and just go our separate ways. Just what it was, no bad feelings or anything. That's just the natural part of it. And I think a lot of that had to do with race. You know, I was Chicano. He was white, and almost like a prison yard type of thing. You're going to your race. Mm-hmm. But me, even though I might like be hanging around, other brown skin people, I'm not saying much. I'm like quiet, right? And
just there in the group.
Just there, just like being a little fly on the wall. But I had this real good luck when it would come to like things happening in the early years. I was a natural athlete. I never worked hard. Like I went to practice, had my dad to practice outside of practice, but never really like went really hard into like one sport. I was just naturally good at a lot of sports.
A jack of all trades.
In a sense, you know. Mm-hmm. And we, so I had that going for me. And then my very first girlfriend, she just came up to me and said I was cute. And I was like, okay, this thing's gonna be easy over here. And so I soaked that up, like, okay, you know. And something like that will stick in your mind.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Did you feel like you were an introvert, or since you had like people that you're hanging around with, and then you had this girl come up to you, did you know you're an introvert? Or
no, I had no idea. I think this is something major that a lot of introverts, when they're around extroverts, and you don't have self-awareness, and you don't know these types of things about different personalities, you think something's wrong with you because you're not talking. Mm-hmm. Right. And every introvert knows that when you're at a party or at a little get together, what do the extroverts say? You're so quiet. Why don't you talk? You know, and you're actually just enjoying yourself. You're chilling there. And but then when they put you on your spot, in the spot, it makes you uncomfortable. And then it starts to make you think like, oh, something's wrong with me.
And then when you say something, you're thinking like, oh, did I say something right? Did that sound okay?
Yeah.
What did they think? It's
like, you're so in your head mm-hmm. about everything you have to say. And then when you say exactly right, then you're thinking about it. But that's what we do as introverts, which is a superpower. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, any strength you have can also be a weakness of yours.
Like personally for me, when I went to junior high, thankfully, I had my cousin, Elena, with mm-hmm. me, and I would consider her an extrovert because she always had best friends, and since I was always with her, those were my friends, as I thought, until I went into high school, where I'm like, something's off, like, this don't feel the same. That's when I kind of like, okay, I don't have a lot of friends, but a lot of people knew me just because of my brother and my sisters that went to high school, but once I went into high school, that's when I really felt like, dang, like I'm alone. Like I don't like this. I want to stay away.
And that was because you didn't have the family at the school anymore?
Mm-hmm. Or just Gilbert didn't really want to hang out with me. Katrina, she's an extrovert.
Your brother, your sister?
Yeah, my sister. She was an extrovert. So she had all her friends. And I kind of just went in like, oh, if I hang out with her, then they're just going to think I'm just her little sister. And I'm not really welcome there. I'm just her little sister, so I just much rather be alone. That was my thought.
Yeah, and you know, I think back because I didn't have any older siblings, or cousins or anything at the schools that I went to. But I wish I would have back then. But now looking back and being self-aware, it's like, thank God I didn't, because it would have paved so many more easier roads for me that probably would have stunted my growth in a lot of different areas. Mm-hmm. And so that is one of the things that I think happens is when you have that natural charisma or natural talents, you kind of skate through certain things and you actually don't get to develop some of your other strengths. And with that being said, unfortunately, if you don't take it in your own hands and do it, it usually takes an event that isn't comfortable, that you're not going to like, to actually open your eyes or make you shift to a different behavior. And
wait, can you say that again? I don't really understand that.
Yeah. So if you're used to acting a certain way and it works for you, mm-hmm. that you're probably not going to change unless something dramatic happens to make you change. It's not very likely, like in our human nature, to be like, oh, you know what? Things are going good. I need to improve myself.
Let me try something new. Yeah.
Yeah. And you get in this comfort zone. And so, you know, we're talking a lot about introverts, but I also want to talk about extroverts. They don't got it easy as either. We're all learning we're just on different paths. So a lot of extroverts, you know, after working with people for so many years and working on personal development with them, I've gotten to learn that extroverts, they have this need to like talk mm-hmm. and they need to be around people to get energy. And so when they're not, they're feeling it. You know, this is what charges them and gives them life. And although I'm an introvert, no doubt about it, I can go and be extroverted anywhere. Like, you need me to go talk in front of people. You need me to go coach a class. You need me to go one-on-one with somebody. I can go there. The biggest difference is those things use my energy. Yeah, use my energy, right? And an extrovert, that gives them, that interaction mm-hmm. gives them energy. And then so I would need to recharge, and an extrovert, for them to recharge, they need to go to a party or an outing and be around people and talk, right? And this is something that can be, you can get down on yourself so much is like when you, if you were like, you use the word drained you of energy. That word has like a kind of negative feeling to it, right? Yeah, so you could say like, oh, I was around my family and friends all day, and now I'm drained of energy, and that could make you feel guilty. But this is why self-awareness is so important. Like, our body, our mind is only going to do something to make us comfortable and protect us. And so it's telling us that because that's our human nature. Like, hey, you are low on energy. You do need to recharge, take some time for yourself. But there should be no guilt for that. But you don't know these things, right? You got to go out and learn these things. And they don't teach them in school.
Well, because just you saying that, like the drain and how that energy, or because when I used to, I felt like I had to go to parties just because I wanted to be in that type of group and be, I wouldn't say popular, but I just seen my sisters and brothers always going to parties, and they knew a lot of people and they talked to a lot of people. So I thought maybe like, oh, let me try all that. But every time I would go to a party, I would just, I felt out of place if I wasn't with my sister, but I felt like my battery was very low after it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started.
Yeah, I remember that quite often, going over that with you through high school. Mm-hmm. You wanting to be out there and be at the party.
Okay, now I'm on track.
Go ahead.
Me wanting to go out there and do all that stuff until like you like told me like, you are who you are, and that's okay, and it's not for anybody. And the fact that you just said like, it drains your battery, and you shouldn't feel like guilty. You just gotta be self-aware, and that's when I started feeling more comfortable in who I am, and be like, okay, I can go out for just a little bit, but I'm going home. When I start to feel even more anxious, or maybe like I'm not even talking at all to anybody.
Yeah. Well, and there's two parts to that. As a parent, if you go out less to parties, the happier I am with you. Okay, you're safe. You're at home. You're not doing something that might get you in danger or that you might regret. But the other side of it is, I also need you to go out and experience the world. And so, during those times, I would do my best to equip you with tools that I've learned. Like self-awareness and communication and personality types, to one, make you feel more comfortable with who you were, and let you know that you're still developing. That's just because you see that happening around you doesn't mean that it's for you. But I also never wanted to like get one overs on you either and be like, oh yeah, I can make her stay home and do that. So
that'd be like a little manipulated, but I don't think you ever.
So anytime you said, hey, I'm going to go to this party, I'd be like, okay, you know, call me if you need me, pick you up, who you're going with, and where you're going to be. But it was important for me, for you to go out there and experience that, because you need to learn how to conduct yourself in the outside world. And the only way you do that is to get out in the outside world. You know, to just, if I just shelter my kids and don't let them experience or go everywhere with them, what, they're going to be an adult and now start learning how to be an adult? It's like, no, I wanted to prep you guys before to go there. And so you as a teen, like with your personality type, there was two different, like I didn't learn a lot of the tools that I have now until late in my 20s. And so you being my youngest, you had the more experienced father. The my other children, they got to hear a lot of it too and learn, but none of them were really interested in like the workings behind it. It's just like, okay, help guide me, or that makes sense, or I'm not gonna listen to you no matter what you say. Like I've told you before, you're a high C and a high D. So C is like an air traffic controller. D is like the pilot. Air traffic controller They want everything planned out. They don't want anything to do with the plane or the people. They want to be in their tower by themselves with their technology and their instructions and be able to map everything out. The pilot, they want to be in the cockpit. They don't want to have to be dealing with the people. They just want to say, get on the plane. I'll take you to where you need to go and leave me alone. Okay.
Say hello.
Yeah, just say hello, boom, be courteous, and then let me do what I need to do or get off the plane if you don't want to go where I'm taking you. Okay. And so you were, since you were, you're that high C, that air traffic controller, you were very interested in the tools, and which was great because, of course, when you can learn something, and then when you learn how to work, how it works, teaches you even more, and you can go more into depth with it. And I think with you, that was a blessing and a curse in a sense, is to where, is like if you got this Christmas present, it was all packaged up, styrofoam, plastic, and you're taking everything out, right? Once you take that out, you're never going to put that stuff back and vacuum sealed and how it came out, right? No. And that's a lot of when you learn new things. And so you learning this stuff, it now opened your world. And like we talked about, a lot of other teens, they're, hey, I know everything, you know, and I'm going to just go out and do. But for you, it kind of opened your world to like, oh, there's more to this, or there's something, even in a sense of like, what's wrong with me?
No, exactly, that's how I felt. Like I knew, I don't want to say something's wrong with me because there's not. I've learned to not use that language because my mind
couldn't. Yeah, but back then that was language you used a lot.
Like, what is wrong with me? Like I see everyone around me. They're so easy to hang out with people. Like, what is wrong? Like, that's just the one thing. And then going to you, asking those questions, and you, like, actually giving me some type of answers that just mean, like, okay, I understand that. Now, like, I need more because I don't want to feel this way anymore. Like, I understand nothing's wrong with me, but I still feel that way. So, obviously, there's more to learn.
Mm-hmm.
That's what piqued my interest, because I just hated feeling the way I felt, and I knew there was something more to life than just what I'm living at that moment.
And you've been learning a lot. There's father and daughter talks like this. There's just regular talks. There's times where we've met up. There's times where I've literally had coaching sessions with you and taught you things like this. And it's years we're talking about, right? And it's back then, you were kind of just like, "What? Why can't I just have a tool that just changes me like that?" And that's, like I said, the changes can happen dramatically like that, but it usually takes something dramatic for a quick change. Other than that, it's putting in the work over and over and over and learning these things. Like, you've learned a lot, but how much action do you put into it is what really matters, you know, and learning that. And that's what I want. That's why I like talking about this stuff, because one, it might not even ever been on somebody's radar before. Like, what is this self-awareness, personal development, and different personality types? So it just opens their mind. Now they can't not know it anymore, right? Mm-hmm. It's on their radar. The other is to ease it, that just because you learned it doesn't mean it's going to change your life the because you watched a YouTube video.
You don't have the wisdom yet.
Yeah, you got to go through it, right? You don't do 10 push-ups one day and then expect to have a big old chest. So this is what it takes over and over and on. But it all goes back to this programming. Like, what'd you go through? What experience did you have? How did it benefit you? And that's why you constantly go back to it. And, you know, like at Solid Foundations, well, even before Solid Foundations, our nonprofit that instills confidence through tools like this, is I was working with adults through my businesses. And so, you know, as young as 18, probably 18 was when I started the business, but it probably didn't have employees until like 19, 20 on. So without any coaching, I was now in charge of others and learning. Not even, I couldn't even say I was really learning because
I wasn't
self-aware at that time. I was, from my programming growing up through teenage to young adults, so just like, this is the way it is. I was like in a little bubble, right? And it was just kind of mentality at that time, the way I was raised was, you work hard to earn a living, you save money, and then you could buy a house one day. And if you want to make more money, you go get another job and you work hard. Just be a hard worker, hard worker, hard worker. That's what it was, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what our grandparents did. That's what our parents did. So they're just passing down what they know.
What they're programmed to do.
And it's on us to take what they did and then build on top of it. So we can't blame, we never should blame them if they're trying to teach us in love, which they were for me in my case. And so that programming is in me. So what do I want from the people that work under me? I want you to work hard, work hard, work hard. Of course, it's my business. I care about it a lot more than them, but I want them to work and take as much pride in the work as I do. I didn't know any better. I didn't know that that's not the case. Hey, they're getting paid, you know, a few bucks over minimum wage, and they just want to earn a paycheck, you know? And so I had no idea at that time. And then as some time went by, I ended up by chance going to some seminar where I was just taking a chance. Your Theo Richard and I went to this seminar about real estate investing, free to go to. And even I didn't even want to, we signed up for it. It was exciting at the time because I was watching the guys on TV. And so I was like, oh, they're actually going to come. There's like good dudes and they've made a good living for themselves. But the day comes, I'm like, I got a project. I can't go. Mm-hmm. You know, just go without me, Rich, if you want to go. He's like, no, you already committed. You already said you would. Come on, let's just go. The crew's going to be all right. You know, the job will still be there tomorrow. So now, okay. And I go. Changed my life from just watching one YouTube video of a person I've never seen before, named Eric Thomas, and he's talking the motivational video of if you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, still one of the most watched ones on YouTube. But I had never heard, never seen anybody talk like that. Mm-hmm. And then so now I was in the video, I was seeing the video, but I was also in a new environment I had never been in. I'd never been surrounded with investors, with people who want more than just to go work, work, work. And so it had a complete mind shift in me, and I fell in love with that. And so the journey went on from there, and that opened my mind, and I could never go back to where I was. But one of the funny things about it was like, oh, what a dork you were, man. What a dork you were. Man, I would be like, oh, as the months went on and I got deeper and deeper and the years went on, I started learning about business and how to be a leader and all these different things. And you touched base on it. You said you use the word wisdom. You're exactly right. I had knowledge. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I had some new knowledge. I had some knowledge. But I had no wisdom at all. And that could be very dangerous. That could be very dangerous. And so the reason why I was such a dork in this one was I would start holding these meetings, these company meetings. I would pay my guys to go to these meetings in the morning before we went out to the projects. And man, before I'd be in the gym and I'd be listening to all these videos and I'd hear one come on, I'd be like, oh, that's a good one. I'm gonna play this in the meeting. And then another, because I would just play one after another, just so that I didn't even listen to music anymore. These are the only videos. Eric Thomas, Tony Robbins were in the beginning. That's all I listened to. And Tony Robbins was a lot more technical guy and dove deep. And Eric Thomas was like more hyped and motivational. So I said, the guys will get relate more to Eric Thomas. So that those are the videos I'll play in the meetings. And so I would, for hours, struggle to pick the video each time. And I'd go, I'd play the video you know, and it's of course getting me riled up, ready for the meeting. And you know, I did this for a long time with the crew, and they would all sit there, you know, just laid back watching it. And it wasn't till like months and years later, when I talked to some former employees. And they, you know, they would talk not only about them, but some of the other employees. They're like, "Oh yeah, that was cool." But you know, most of the other guys, they're like, "What the hell is Gil on? Like, what is he on?" And like, he just wants to pay us for this, you know. And it was just that always reminded me, like, God, what a, because I look back and I'm over there in this meeting, and I'm talking about 10 to 15 guys, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to motivate them through the same way I was motivating. Now, if I would have known better, had some wisdom under my belt, I would know that there's much better ways to motivate, and not everybody's motivated the same, you know. But I spent a long time and a lot of money pouring into people that never once asked to be it.
I think you can't save someone if they don't want to be saved.
Yeah, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink it. You know, if someone's drowning, you throw a life preserver in there and they just throw it away. You can't save them. You go in there, they don't want to come. They're going to take you under. You got to leave them. Say, "I'm right here.
Yeah.
You want to come to the ledge, I'll pull you up," you know. And so that was a big learning lesson for me. And I got wisdom from there. I got a lot of wisdom from there. But it's years of money going out, you know, and learning. And that's what I'm looking forward for you, is as you're getting over, you're gonna have so much more perspective to look back. And I always want to remind you to look back and reflect on the past, because you're gonna be able to pull so much. It's like videos you could watch in your head, and it's like a play-by-play, like, oh, that's what that really meant, that's what was really happening.
I guess I could go back in my journals, but I would feel very embarrassed too.
Yeah, I mean, it was a less, you know, experienced version of yourself. But if that helps you, you know, then go all for it. And so when I was working with adults, that was just employee. But once I got hooked on learning about this stuff, what I learned about myself was my personality type is an S. So you're a C, I'm an S, but I'm also a high D as well. S's are what we call grounds crew. They want to support the plane. They'll fuel it up, they'll put the baggage on, but they don't really want to have to deal with the people and talk with them and make conversations, just like a hello. Mm-hmm. The S's, grounds crew, want to help, but not be in the spotlight. Okay, and that's what I'm most high in. But I'm also a high D, which is the driven, which is the pilot, right? So I want to help people, but obviously if I don't like what's going on, then I usually just take control and do it by myself, or start something to get it done. And so when I realized, as I was learning, that I wanted to be a coach, and I wanted to coach in personal development, and again, even though it was years later, different crew, I tried shoving this down my crew's throat, setting meetings, mm-hmm. and say, "I'm gonna coach you. You're gonna learn about personal development, right? Because it's gonna make you better."
I feel like some people get offended.
Some would, you know, some would. And luckily for me at this time, I was being coached myself. I had invested to get my own personal development coach. And he's the one who told me, telling him, like, "Man, I'm having trouble. Got all these tools that I'm learning. I'm trying to teach my crew to get them, you know, to take their life to another level." And he's all, "Who the hell are you to coach them? Who the hell are you to say there's something wrong with them?" Kind of just got quiet, because I'm thinking he's going to be like, "Oh, you know what, not everybody's mm-hmm. into that." But no, he put me in my place. And that was a pill to swallow. And then from there, I was like, well, yeah, I'll stop. At least one of the good things about me is I'll take direction. Mm-hmm. I take direction well. And you could talk to me however you want, because I'm a take it. And then if you're giving me knowledge, I'll mm-hmm. take it. And so I stopped with my employees at that time, and then I started doing just personal development coaching with adults. And then as time went on, like I told you here, I was getting frustrated. I wasn't seeing a lot of results. One, I'm not good. I'm just learning this stuff and then trying to teach it to others. Now, I'm not putting a lot of practice into it. I don't have a lot of wisdom in it. And adults, like I told you, they're like cured concrete. You need to get a jackhammer out, and crack that thing up, throw it away, and pour something new for an adult. And so as time went on, I was like, man, this adult thing ain't work. You know what? I'm going to work with teens. I want to help. I had this feeling. I got to help people. I'll help teenagers. And man, my poor business and my poor business partners. And at the time, I started using my own business as a nonprofit. I was like, you know what? Let's hire a bunch of teenagers. We'll teach them how to work. We'll teach them how to have a good work ethic, how to be with their money, and we'll teach them personal development skills. And so that went bad really quick. No, you know, hiring 10 teenagers straight out of high school, it wasn't good. And it wasn't long till they were just coming for a paycheck. And so as time went on, we had to make some adjustments. And I started working with started the nonprofit Solid Foundations. And we started working with, because the teens that we brought in through the business, they're 18, 19. So we started bringing in younger teens. And you could still shape them, right? But they're still so on the line. Like if I was working with somebody who was in the hood and they were still hanging with their friends and they weren't willing to distance themselves or tell their friends, hey, come along with me, let's change some of our behaviors and habits, they usually wouldn't do as well. But some of them who had dramatic changes, maybe they had to move out of one parent's house to another, or maybe sometimes they got their hood didn't even want them anymore, and now I'm working with the former gang member. He's ready to change because his life just got flipped upside down, you know? Or sometimes they get shot or stabbed or something like that. And so I'm like, okay, this is when I started really noticing the difference of like, okay, teens are still moldable. Adults are hard as hell. Mm-hmm. Teens are still moldable. And then we started working with like little kids. And that's when I noticed big time with little kids, they were just like clay. You know, they're just like freshly poured concrete. You could do whatever you want with them and kind of set them up for the future. And that's what kind of the trajectory of my whole coaching career has been. And what really the wisdom I've got from it is that I could probably have a big impact if I work with kids at a young age and teach them a lot of the things that we're teaching them at Solid Foundations.
I definitely agree. I lived through that. I lived through you on that one.
Meaning what part?
I probably was a baby, but I do remember you hiring teens and that stopped shortly after. And then I do remember doing boxing at the church. And now we're here.
Yeah.
The present. So that's what I mean. I lived through that.
And your journey now, you're 19. You're 19 now. You still use these tools and you're trying to learn and dive deep in there more. And like as a parent, that is something that, if I could say, makes me the most, gives me the most confidence in you and comfortable as far as like you being out in the world without me. It's those skills right there. It's because I know if I can get you to be a thinker and learn how to use your mind, your body, your language, that you're going to be so much better to be able to deal with things that happen in life, the good and the bad. And so, and I hope you just always continue to learn and constantly practice, because it's never ending. And no matter what like physically happens to you, those bruises will heal, But sometimes people carry those mm-hmm. pain, scars, and suffering in their mind for a lifetime. And really, those things can be healed and changed if you work mm-hmm. on it.
Oh, most definitely. I feel like that's what I have been doing for the past couple of months, is just working on my mind and how I handle situations, on how I handle situation now and how I want to handle situations. I feel like I think I've been doing a good job. I'm not as sad mm-hmm. like I would think I would be. I feel like I'm, what is it? Like, I'm not, if I can't control something, I'm like learning to just let it go. It's going to be what it's going to be. And
you're learning to control what you can and let go of what you can't control.
You live a happier life that way. Because I remember I just wanted everything to be certain. I want things how I want them, but that's not life. And once I got that through my head, which I still am, I've been living a lot happier, I would say.
It probably hasn't been too long since the last time I told you, but you're very ahead of the game when it comes to being self-aware, your communication skills and things like that. Like I said, I was probably 26, 27 when I started even my bubble, even like I got out of my little bubble of what was my life and my knowledge at that time, and you've already been working on it. So I hope that you keep it on, you help, you know, spread it and keep that going.
Definitely like to.
So today was our first time being on TikTok Live. Jelly, you have anything for us from there before we move on? Good. All right. So you got some questions for me?
Yes, I do. On the topic of being like programmed from the start, is there anything you wish you were programmed to be like, or?
One thing sticks out, like a theme sticks out to me big time when you say that. But anytime that I'm going to talk about my past, I always want you to know, and anybody who's listening to know, that I'm also grateful for it happening as well. Because I've been able to learn so much, and it helped me become the person that I am. But one thing is emotion, like to be able to feel and experience emotions. Like as it is, as a young male, a lot of times we're taught to not show emotions. And that can come from being disciplined, or it could come from a lot of it comes from, at least for me, I'll talk about me, is like a lot of it came from being disciplined, like know your place. Hey, we're going to go here and this is how it's mm-hmm. going to be. Disciplined. Let's say I got hit for not behaving. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if you cry, you're going to get in trouble even more. Like if you really want something to cry about, you'll get it, yeah. Right? And so these things are being done out of love mm-hmm. and wanting your, I'm talking about my life, okay? I'm talking about my life. These things were being done because I was loved. I had no doubt that I was loved. My parents love me and they only want the best for me.
Did you know that at that time mm-hmm. when you were younger?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that has to do with it. Mm-hmm. It has to do with what happens to you, especially from your loved ones. It really sets there. It sits inside you, you know, and it's not always the best, not always right. Not who to say it's wrong, but it happens.
They're using the tools that they were taught.
Yeah, they're using the tools that you were taught. You know, it's like something like, if my enemy gives me this water, and I drink it, nothing's gonna happen to me. But you, somebody I love, puts a little drop of poison in there and you give me the water, it's gonna hurt me on the inside. So it's like, but you're my loved one. Like I don't know your I would say quotations mm-hmm. poisoning me, you know, when it comes to that quote. And you don't do it purposely, right? Like say you were putting in there, you were just making me a drink, and I'm not gonna question you at all of what you put mm-hmm. in my drink, because you're the one I love, so I'm gonna just drink it. And so that's where that saying comes from. But so when it comes to like the emotional thing, I think it has to do with a lot like of discipline. You know, if you're going to a restaurant, you sit there and you be quiet. You don't outburst. You just behave. And there was one thing that I can remember, and it took me years to remember this, because that story I think is very similar to a lot of young men growing up, and a lot of young women for that sense. One thing that sticks out to me that might be a little different, and what happened to me is like my dad was never disciplinary at all. Like my mom always did the discipline when it comes to the physical mm-hmm. the physical stuff. And so there was one time I was probably like 7 or 8 years old, and my dad had mentioned, "Oh, your cousins are coming over." And I had a couple cousins that were close to my age. And I remember, which I forgot all about this feeling, but I remember then when I look back and like I could put myself in that story as a little kid, I could remember now that there was this feeling inside me that made me not be able to control my body. And I just mm-hmm. wanted to like pretty much like dance around. Mm-hmm. I had like so much excitement, like just bouncing around. And I was like saying silly things and like bouncing around, like kind of acting like a little fool. And my dad, who probably at that time had never raised his voice at me, just snapped at me, turned around, looked sternly at me and said, "Stop acting like that." And so without any communication, like explanation, I just stopped. And from that point on, I've never felt that feeling. And so going with the being raised, like I was explaining to you before, and then that really like sinking in. Now, not only now you put me into my young teenage years, I start becoming involved with gangs and hanging out with my friends at mm-hmm. the time, like that. And oh, you better believe you're not supposed to be showing any emotions, you know? And it's like, you're supposed to be very stoic, always have your cool, always be ready to fight. It's like anybody who even try, and this goes for a lot of teens too, just when anybody who goes out and tries something, oh, you're a dork, you know? You're just supposed to like pretty much stand against the wall and look hard. And so that was just getting more and more ingrained as mm-hmm. as my growth is settling, you know, it's getting harder and harder. It's curing. Mm-hmm. That's what's getting reinforced over and over. Don't show emotions. Emotions are mm-hmm. are weakness. And at the time, it's doing a lot of good for me too, right? Back when I'm younger, part of what I went through was you know, getting bullied at a young age, but once I turned my emotions hard and actually showed that I would stand up for myself, that stopped. So what am I doing now? Mm-hmm. No, okay, another reinforcement, no emotions. And what, I had this new thing too, if you don't like it, I could punch you in the face. You're gonna punch me back? Fine, like I don't care, you know?
So you wish you were able to show it or express and show your emotion more?
Well, now that I've grown, got some wisdom, and I can look back, and I've done podcasts on emotions before with some of my older homies that from back in the day. I've talked with my dad about that. Like I said, it was nothing like traumatizing or anything. I guess you could maybe say it was some sort of trauma, but he was just a young man himself, and he was doing what his parents had taught him, with what his parent taught him. And I probably tell this story because I have talked to him, because I wouldn't want him to hear it for the first time and be hurt, because I know how much he loves me and how much, if anything, that if he felt he hurt me in some way would hurt him. But I have talked to him about it. We've talked to it in the past. And so, I'm sorry, I got a little off track.
Mm-hmm. I have another question for you that does relate to you not showing much emotion. It's like, does anything like affect you, like hurt you in any way? Like, cause I know you go through a lot of stuff, but you don't show much emotion, and I call him a robot sometimes. But that's, I'm talking fast. But yeah, is there any like anything that hurts your heart when thinking of it? Like,
yeah. So when I seen that question, I was like, oh. And so I kind of explained to you before I answered this first question. About even though it's something that, so let's say for this, I want you to know that even though it hurts me, that it's not, it's something that I'm still grateful for, and that I actually use that to help me be a better person. And so anytime I look at a kid pictures of you guys, yeah, it hurts. Not 100% of the time, but a lot of time, because it just reminds me that I could have did a better job. That I wish I would have spent more quality time with you guys. Something I can't get back. And it's something that it's something that I use as fuel today to try to have a close relationship with you guys, and even still to this day, I try to be better at it. But there are so much times where you guys would just even verbally say you want more time with me. And I was so consumed with being a provider for you guys to make sure you had the things you needed and what you wanted. And then going through the divorce, I was really self-absorbed if I wasn't providing. And so I was just, yeah, when I look back at pictures, if it's just you guys, yeah, there's a little sting in the heart, but I'm, like I said, I'm grateful for it as well.
Because I don't think I turned out all right.
I think you turned out all right, and I think our relationship turned out all right. I don't know, it turned out good. But it's still there, and in a sense, it's like, whenever we talk about past and we talk about healing pain, I'm not like broken and like it's an open wound in me, but it's a nice scar to have to constantly remind me of that. Hey, you need to make time for your kids, because you're 19 now, so you're starting to notice like how fast the weeks are going, how fast the months are going, then the whole year's gone. Mm-hmm. And so I can look back at a picture of you guys being, you know, before 10 years old, and be like, damn, where that time's gone. You know, that time's gone. And what other things do I have to show for, you know? Luckily, I got the businesses. But the most important thing is I got the relationships with you. And I did things with you guys, and I know people will tell me you're a good father, and I agree. I was a good father. I am a good father, but it's just something in me like I could have done more, and not just for you guys, but for me as well. And I think a lot of that had to do with unlocking emotions. And if I see pictures of you guys, that's how I feel. And then if I see pictures of you guys with me, I think of me back then and being so close-minded, you know, and so narrow-minded, I would say. Mm-hmm. And I'm just grateful for my growth. I'm grateful for the relationships, you know, that I do have with my kids. I'm always going to want them to be closer. I know there's always more that I could do. And I'm always going to use that as fuel to make sure our relationships are strong.
Well, on the emotion part, you're showing a lot more emotion. Definitely does help me not only feel better, but kind of understand you and what you're going through. Because, like, me knowing that, I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, like I said, when you wrote that question, you sent me the questions for today. I was like, oh, I could feel it. I could feel it in my heart already. But I think it's these talks like this, they help me. Like, I'm not afraid to express emotions. Just for a long time, I didn't know how. And so, well, I would say, first, I thought you were weak if you showed emotions. Then I was like, well, no, it's actually, I envy people, I admire people who can show emotions. It's strength to be vulnerable and show emotions. But, like, how do I? like, how do I do that? I've been practicing my whole life to not show emotions. And then so it's conversations like this and just my self-work, my nonstop of self-work and learning that is constantly teaching me. And that's why I'm excited to learn more and feel more. Like, it's such a different life to be able to experience it through emotions.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful to hear. I like when you show emotions.
I figured that's why you wrote that.
I was just wondering. I was like, I haven't seen this man with emotion.
Well, you just come to me with so many things, right, that are hurting you and hurting your heart. And so I would imagine, yeah, you'd be curious. Like, I feel this way. What does my dad feel? Or does he even feel that way about anything? And there's something that I've learned a long time ago when it comes to strength and trying to be a good leader is, for so long, I was trying to lead by trying to be a perfect example. And in my mind was like, well, you don't show emotions. That's how you show a good example. As I've learned is to build rapport with somebody and actually be able to get through them, you got to let those walls down and share.
Most definitely, because, like, I go through this, like, something's wrong with me. Because my dad, like, he doesn't show much, so I don't know if he, like, has something that I don't know that's going to help me not feel this way. Or, like, this is how life is, Barry. You're going to go through emotions, just how you deal with it. And that's when you do show me, like that question or things like that, it does, like, okay, Barry, you are human. He's human. Like, we do have these emotions. He just has a funny way of showing it.
Yeah.
Or no way of showing it at all.
And that's why I look forward to more and more of these podcasts, because I want you to learn and ask anything you want. And if it's a story of mine, I have no problem sharing anything. Of course, if it's something that I'm intertwined with and it has other people and it's sensitive things, I might not be able to talk about them. But if it has something to do, like, with me and I'm one of the stars or co-stars in that story, I'm gonna share it, not only to help you but help anybody else who listens. And it's also helping me to talk about this stuff and kind of unravel what's in my mind and putting it out there.
It's a beautiful thing.
So is that a good spot to wrap it up here? Or I got to get better at these segues.
Yeah, I got a couple ideas.
Yeah. But, okay. So we go from these emotional things to
straight
to the point. So we're going to work on that. But so let's talk about some of our sponsors, Bear. In order to get this to keep this podcast going, to keep the work that we do at our nonprofit, we got to get help from somewhere. And we love to get help from our community, because Solid, our nonprofit, and what we do here has always been funded mostly by the community. And one of the great ways you can do that is through our BRIC program. The BRIC program hasn't been talked about very much, but there's these there's these crew of people, a small crew of people that donate a set amount of money every month, and they allow us to know, to have some sort of budget to know, because other than that, we don't know when another type of little grant is going to come in, or a nice surprise donation in the mail is going to come in. So that's one of the foundations of our program, is our BRIC program members. So you can always support us by becoming a BRIC program member. We got our solid kid classes, we got martial arts, we got work ethic. Work ethic, you learn how to use tools, build things, and Friday fitness. You could join some of those, your kids can join those classes 5 through 11, or you could join a boot camp. We got the women's jiu-jitsu. You and I got to train some jiu-jitsu earlier today, and that's a beautiful thing. We got to train together.
It's been a while.
Yeah, we had a good amount of family on the mat today, you know?
It's a beautiful thing.
And it was beautiful. And here at Solid, although today we were training co-ed, you know, it was nice to have another woman on the mat besides old wifey's always the only one on there. So now we got to have Bear on there and help show the guys what women can do. Here at Solid, we have an all-women's jiu-jitsu class because, let's face it, not all women are ready to go from I've never trained to let me go train and have a sweaty guy try to choke me out or you know, break my arm. And women's jiu-jitsu class, you're surrounded by women, like-minded women who all want to push each other, get better. Bear, you're competing tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
Talking about with women's jiu-jitsu, you got a women's bracket you're competing in tomorrow, and you got a big tournament at the end of the month.
Yes, I do.
So somebody could be a great sponsor for you. That's another way they could help sponsor Bear in her tournaments, because it costs money to enter, costs money for travel, and costs money to stay, but it's a beautiful thing to keep
pushing.
Talk about learning, you know, stop learning out of high school. People stop competing as well. And if you don't push yourself and compete, you get old, slow, and rusty, and we don't want that. So when we leave, what are you going to get done when we leave here from recording this podcast?
My eyebrows and my hair. And the beautiful thing is the woman that coaches the women's class is a black belt, my dad's wife. She has her own hair salon and business. And what I'm very fortunate is that I don't have to go to a salon. I could get it done either here or at my father's house. If it's a haircut, my eyebrows waxed, my makeup. Again, I'm very fortunate because...
Yeah, you're fortunate. Most people aren't going to be going to the house to get their stuff done. But if you want to get your hair done, we're talking balayages, we're talking highlights, low lights. Yep,
Brazilian blowouts. Brunettes.
Or one of the newest things, extensions.
Oh, if you want some length.
Some full length, or volume. You get volume too. Charm Hair and Makeup Studio. You could reach them as well to get that. Santa Barbara Office Interiors, where we're recording this, one of our family businesses. You need anything office furniture, you hit up Santa Barbara Office Interiors, and you're helping the family, you're helping the nonprofit, you're helping us keep on doing good work in the community. Home Ed Real Estate. This is my sister, your tia, Lorena. She is a licensed real estate agent. She will literally take you from, I don't have no idea what it takes to buy a house, to a game plan to meet all the right people and get you set up. Now, I'm not saying she's going to, like, you meet with her and you're going to be able to buy a house, but you're going to know where you're going to sit and the roadmap to get there. And so get a hold of us. If you're looking to buy a home, that helps us out as well, and we can help you out. We got Bracelets by Alicia, which is our producer behind the camera there. And you could reach her on IG, or you could get a hold of us and we'll hook you up with some custom braces. Mally, you doing anything else besides braces right now? I know sometimes you do, sometimes you don't.
I'm working on lashes and acrylics right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Entrepreneurship's in the family blood. If you want to get a hold of Bear on Instagram, she's @Isabel, ISABELLR42. you want to get a hold of me, I'm at Regalado Gilbert, R-E-G-A-L-A-D-O-G-I-L-B-E-R-T. And you could also follow us at Solid Foundations on Instagram. Bear, another good episode with you. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you and you opening up.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you.